Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a vital question we can answer for you, why, jump right on right now. That toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Lines available, they're wide open right now at 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. In one of his last miracles, Jesus had this to say before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He's talking to Martha, Martha and Mary, Martha, the one who chose to serve and, you know, was complaining that Mary wasn't there with her, helping prepare this meal and that sort of thing. It's that Martha. Martha's having this conversation with Jesus and saying, you know, why weren't you here? If you'd been here, Lazarus would have never died. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus had something else in mind, and he gives her a clue with this statement: I am the resurrection and the life. And that's the point we are talking about this week, one of the eight key truths that every Christian needs to know. We need to know that Jesus was raised from the dead. We need to know what that means to us right here, right now. And it does have application to us right now. Not just in the by and by when the resurrection is going to occur, but it has meaning to us now. And it's all tied to Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Well, Martha had no earthly idea exactly what he was saying or what he was asking. And so she came up with some answer that was totally off question. But it's a question that we all have to answer. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, that God raised him back to life? Paul makes the connection as he's writing to the Romans. He said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the message concerning Christ. And in that conversation, he says, if you can say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart or with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, what does that mean, that you will be saved? Well, you will be made alive just as Christ was raised from the dead, came back to life. That's what it means. Do you really believe that? Or do you look at Christianity as merely a self-improvement program with a 2,000-year track record of helping people get better in their day-to-day lives? Well, that's not what Christianity is all about at all. Christianity is about new life. You and I were dead in sin. There's only one solution for death, and that's life.
Yeah.
And we come to that point. We kind of close our eyes on that old way of life. We die with Christ. We're co-crucified with Christ. Why? So that we could come alive, be made alive together with Christ. That's what this gospel message is all about. That's why this resurrection is so vitally important. And that's why it really is the essence of our faith.
Yeah.
Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That is the key question.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, so hopefully we answer that question each day. And if you have a question about that, why, we would love to hear from you right now. Or there's another topic you'd like to discuss, why, give us a call. The lines are wide open right now at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a friend named Donna got a pretty pointed question from someone she was discussing the issue of forgiveness with, and the question was, so, Donna, I can spend my life molesting and killing children and then ask for forgiveness and be sitting right beside you in heaven? Baloney. That was from someone she was talking with. Well, how do we answer that?
Well, that's one of those questions, isn't it, that we get all the time, because we talk about the gospel of grace and, you know, everybody wants to know, well, what about Hitler? What about Stalin? You know, that you mean that God could save them, that Jesus died for their sins as well, that his blood was sufficient to take away all the evil that they did? Is that what you're really saying? And the answer to that is yes, Jesus' blood was of more worth, of more value than all the sins of the world combined. That's how big that sacrifice of Christ was. But in light of what we just read, as far as Jesus' statement, I am the resurrection and the life, we understand that salvation is much more than forgiveness. God sent Jesus. So when we come to him by faith, what we're receiving is Christ himself. We're not receiving just forgiveness. We're not just receiving, you know, all these goodies of grace. We're receiving Jesus. So somebody saying, hey, I can go about molesting and killing children and then just ask for forgiveness, he's missed the offer.
Yes.
Because that's not the offer. Jesus is offering himself. He's saying, I've come that I can give you life. And as Paul writes, when we receive Christ, he becomes our very life. Christ is our life. That's what salvation is all about. So someone saying, hey, I can just get away with all these things and ask for forgiveness right before I take my last breath and everything's going to be okay, they're missing the offer.
Absolutely.
It's what have you done with my son? That's the key question.
Yeah.
And somebody in that condition, they're not interested in Jesus. They're just interested in having the debt cleared so that they'll be okay. Doesn't work that way.
And Donna, I hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you in answering the question from this friend of yours. That was a very pointed question, by the way.
Yes, definitely.
Plenty of open lines right now. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Yeah, I find it interesting that someone who asks that kind of question has never really read the Bible, because the Bible asks the question the completely opposite way. How perfect do I need to be? Well, I need to be completely perfect, utterly perfect. Well, how much mistake does it take to lose perfection? The smallest little mistake. We always ask these behavioral questions,
sure,
in terms of the worst possible things we can think of, not realizing that apart from Jesus Christ, we are already seated with Satan in hell. We are dead, and that's where we're going. And he's the one who came with the rescue mission. He wants to change us so that we don't do this kind of stuff anymore. And it angers me, actually, that people think this way.
But it's out there.
It is.
And that's a worldly mindset. They're missing the whole point.
Yeah.
And it's like so many religious people. They read the Bible and they're reading to find out what we're supposed to be doing. How are we supposed to be living? And the fact of the matter, the Bible is a book about Jesus.
Yes.
God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. It is God's testimony about Jesus from start to finish. And to the Pharisees, to those who were diligently searching the scriptures in hopes that they would find eternal life, Jesus said, these are the scriptures that talk about me, yet you refuse to,
yes,
come to me for life. That's the whole deal. Who are we receiving? What are we receiving? Jesus is his name. When we're saved, we receive Jesus. And in Jesus, there is forgiveness. There is righteousness.
Yes.
There is new identity. All of that is wrapped up in Jesus. So if I want to take forgiveness out of Jesus and just receive that, that's not the offer.
No.
That's not on the table. And that's what this guy was wanting to do. And I'm sure if Jesus was right there standing in front of him saying, I've already died and shed my blood and forgiveness can be yours, but my offer is me. Do you want me? I guarantee you that guy will probably say no.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Open lines, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Jason right here in Dallas, Texas, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Jason.
Someone we know.
Welcome
to
Basic Gospel.
Hey, how's it going today?
Fantastic.
Good. So I had a question for you. I work at a church, and it came to me from somebody I was talking to the other day. The question was, how can I know that the Holy Spirit works in the same kind of ways with the same kind of giftings as he did in the first century church, because I don't see it. I don't see a lot of examples of the same kind of miracles and the same kind of gifts that, you know, Paul talks about a lot in 1 Corinthians. So how do I know it's the same? It seems like he's different than he was way back when.
Good question. Very, very interesting question. And, you know, Jason, I would say that, you know, a lot of times we're looking for the spectacular. We want those spectacular signs to verify to us that God really is at work, either within us or within the group that we are connected with. And I think if we just take a little closer look, we see God working in exactly the same way that he did back then, just without the signs. What was God doing back then? What was the Spirit of God doing back then? The most important work that he was doing was giving new life to those who were dead in sin. Well, is that miracle of new life happening today? And we would say, yes, it is. I mean, for example, at the beginning of the program, Jason, we read John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me will live even though he dies. Well, to prove that truth, he raised Lazarus from the dead. But Lazarus died again. So Jesus had something else in mind than just merely physical life. He was talking about spiritual life, eternal life, something that would go well beyond the grave. So is Jesus in the business, is the Holy Spirit in the business today of bringing new life to those who were dead in sin? Absolutely. It happens every single day in every corner of the world. Also, as far as the work of the Spirit is concerned, his primary work is to take the things of the Lord Jesus, make them known to us. And what that means is he wants to give us an experience of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, so that we can love others as Christ has loved us, so that we can forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us, so that we can accept others as God has accepted us. That is the enduring work of the Spirit, and it takes the power of the Spirit for those things to actually occur in our day-to-day experience. So is the Spirit of God working today like he was back then? Absolutely. Maybe we don't see, you know, the spectacular. We're not encountering gifts of tongues or some miraculous healings as much as they were back then. But that doesn't mean the Spirit isn't working in as powerful or even more powerful ways today as he was back then.
Yeah, the question is actually the positive side of the question compared to the negative one I talked about before. I'm in a confrontive mood today. this question about why doesn't the Spirit do the things he did before is actually asking, well, what have you done for me lately, Lord? And I think it exposes a problem in the belief system. Just like the negative question did. I mean, if you know, I claim to believe, I claim to be God's child, therefore the Spirit ought to do certain things in me and for me. And usually what I've found, you know, I suffer from this myself. Well, Lord, why not? What I've found is I got to get my eyes off of me and take a look around the world and see what the Spirit is doing. Part of our problem, especially in the Western church, and I would localize that more to the church in the U.S., is we've gotten so complacent, and we think we're kind of owed everything, and we're not. I mean, this is a gift, not a payment of a debt. And so when I get my eyes off of me and put them on Jesus and let the Spirit be the Spirit, my eyes get opened and I begin to see what's really going on.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking, one of the most powerful acts of the Spirit, as far as I'm concerned, was Peter's encounter with Cornelius in that Gentile household. So God goes to Peter and says, you know, I want you to get up from Joppa and I want you to walk. I want you to journey to Caesarea by the sea, and I want you to enter into the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and I want you to tell them about Jesus. I want you to tell them about my son. Well, that went against everything that Peter stood for as a Jew. It was against Jewish law to enter into a Gentile house. Yet Peter had learned that God shows no partiality, that God shows no favoritism, that this gospel message is for both Jew and Gentile. So, compelled by the power of the Spirit, one foot went in front of the other, and one foot went in front of the other. And he finally arrived at Caesarea, and he entered into that house without hesitation, no reluctance, because God's love was coursing through his veins at that moment, and he opened up his mouth and he spoke the words of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit fell upon those people, and new life entered into the Gentile world, so to speak. The very first Gentile that was saved received the Spirit of God, and Peter became a witness of that. And so I think love is the key. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to work inside of us. And all those miraculous things, so to speak, if they're done without love, they're totally meaningless. So I think we look at the priority of God's Spirit. He wants me to walk by faith, express that faith, and love both to God and to others. That is the real work of God's Spirit in us today.
That's good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for answering my question. You guys are just so wise. It's so impressive, really.
Well, Jason, thanks for your call, my friend. We appreciate
you. We'll talk to you.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jason.
All right. Bye-bye.
Just a moment. We'll go talk with Beverly and listening in Idaho. But, guys, you know what? Sunday, October 4th is Basic Gospel Day in Central Texas and North Texas. And we want to meet many, many of our listener friends who would like to be a part of that. We're going to be at Park Meadows Church in Waxahachie. And if you're listening on KBBW in Waco or KWRD-FM, The Word in Dallas-Fort Worth, you are in easy driving distance, especially on a Sunday morning. Things get underway at 10 o'clock that morning, and there will be food. Now, this is a free event, but we do need you to register in advance so we know how much food to provide and other amenities as well. So please go to basicgospel.net, click events in the upper menu, and you'll see all of our upcoming events there. But for sure, get registered for this free event, Basic Gospel Day, Sunday, October 4th in Waxahachie. We want to get to know you.
Yes, indeed. I met with Joe Langley yesterday. Joe was the pastor of this church. He's just one of the most delightful guys you'll ever want to meet. His heart has been captured by the grace of God, and he's just constantly thinking about how can I communicate in such a way that it resonates with people, that people really see Jesus for who he is and really come to grips with what he's accomplished for him through his death, burial, and resurrection. And he has some brilliant ways to communicate this good news. And so he's just becoming a dear, dear friend. And I can't wait to be there, and I can't wait for our team to be there to really connect with him, to connect with those within his church. And then, you know, hopefully hundreds of listeners here in Dallas that will come and be a part of this. This is just going to be a fantastic Sunday. Don't miss this event.
Yeah, everybody in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, down in the Waco area, all of Central and North Texas, as a matter of fact.
Yes, indeed.
844-322-2742. Some open lines and some time. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Idaho and talk with Beverly, listening to us on KBGN. Hi, Beverly.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. My regular radio channel wasn't working, so I found yours. I've never heard you before, but I feel like I'd like you to talk to me.
Well, we would love to do that.
Yes.
What's on your mind today?
My youngest daughter's 40. Her daughter is 17. She's a senior. And a couple months ago, they both told me they decided they don't believe in Christ, that it was just a good story, and that, you know, he doesn't really have an influence in their lives, and it about knocked my socks off. But I always haven't been the best person, but I've always been a Christian, and I feel so helpless. I don't know what to do.
Well, Beverly, their story is not unique. You know that
it is me.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. That, you know, those 20 somethings, you know, that age group, high school, college, early 20s, those folks are quote leaving the church in droves, and it has leaders scratching their head, questioning what to do, and I think the answer is, you know, a fresh view of Jesus, the biblical view of Jesus. A lot of times what people are rebelling against is not the Jesus of the Bible, but the Jesus that religious people have put out there. And there's a big difference. That religious Jesus is judgmental. He's constantly on your back. He's just exacting perfection out of you, and all of these sort of things, and you just can't live up under that. But that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus of the Bible died to take away our sins, was raised so that we could have everlasting life. He comes to live inside of us. He's with us morning, noon, and night, 24/7, 365 days a year. If we get ourselves out in the weeds, as Richard would say, his presence is there to draw us back, to love us, to dust us off, and get us moving down the right road again. That's the Jesus of the Bible. And so I think, you know, those folks who are rebelling or walking away, they're not walking away from that Jesus. So I think how you talk to them is, you know, would you like to take a fresh look at Jesus, open up the pages of Scripture, and find out exactly who he is? And then make a decision if you want to come to him and receive him as your life, or if you want to reject him and go do your own thing. But I think somebody needs a fresh vision of Jesus.
Well, how do I get him not to think of it as just stories?
Well, I'm sure,
you know,
they're...
And even looking again.
Yeah, I'm sure they're hearing information in their circles, but they're not very well informed. You know, there's lots of literature out there, ancient literature, and none of that literature has the evidence that the Bible does to prove that it's true. As far as the resurrection is concerned, as far as the birth of Jesus is concerned, historians have been looking at that, and even skeptics say that Jesus actually lived, and he's the actual guy of the Bible. So they're not very well informed, and they need to be challenged to take a look. And we have some resources, Beverly, that we can put into your hands that can help you reach out to your family members and can even help shore you up as far as your faith in Christ is concerned. So let me put you on hold. We're sure grateful that you found us on the broadcast today, and we would love to help you in this journey. You hang on, Beverly, okay?
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate hearing from all of our listeners wherever you hear the program, wherever you call from. It's a pleasure and it's a privilege for us to be here each day to proclaim the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his love, grace, and life. And he would love to provide it for you. If you've been struggling with that issue, of course, I think this is the best place that you can go to get a full understanding of, his, as I said, his love, life, and grace. Well, every day on this broadcast, we accept calls or share email questions from listeners across the U.S. and in Canada. Calls present different issues for discussion: family relationships, work-related issues, the stress and frustration of trying to live up to what you believe is God's expectations, or as Bob Christopher says, trying to be God's guy and failing time after time. And sometimes at the end of those calls, we are privileged to pray with those who have discovered in the course of the conversation the age-old truth that we can't, but God did in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you support when you give through this ministry, Basic Gospel. We thank those of you who give consistently to hear this message take root in the hearts and lives of others. If you can help with a gift today, click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.